Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 93 of the Weekly Long Box. I'm Leonard, joined as always by Todd. Todd, how are we doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. Hey, lots of news has happened.
Yes, yeah, stuff happened since we've been talked last.
Yes, indeed. Not least of all, in a heartbreaker, I lost my MP3 player.
Ah, you want to know something funny?
Go ahead.
I found mine.
I didn't know you had lost yours.
Yes, I thought it was stolen out of my truck, but I had brought it in the house and put it in my con bag, you know, the AC/DC bag that I take to cons.
Yes.
I was like, I broke something in the truck, so I can't listen to anything in there unless I wear the headphones. So I was like, I'll throw it in my con bag. That's the next time I'll use it. And I forgot that I did it and thought it got stolen out of the truck. So I went in my con bag this week because I'm going to Baltimore in like 10 days.
Right.
So I figured I'd go through it just to see what I needed to replace, replenish, take out. And I was like, there's my MP3 player. I'm good to go.
Yeah, it happened sometime during the Wrestling Is Cool show on Sunday, and I'd like to think I just misplaced it or it fell out of the car and I didn't see it. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone broke into my car. I'm not that silly. Mm-hmm. There would have been plenty more things that they could have taken other than my, you know, $50 MP3 player. But in the interim, while I'm waiting for a new one to be shipped to me, I have this piece of junk MP3 player.
Right.
If you ever go to, like, your local, I don't need to name these stores that have Mart in their name, but there's more than two, at least, that I can think of.
Right.
They all house the same junky MP3 players that don't hold a charge longer than 3 hours.
Right.
They're horrible.
Like Sorny?
Well, I don't want to name names here,
no, but
of course.
There's this. They have the outer box to prevent fall apart.
Ugh. The wood frame casing, yeah.
Yes.
I think I'd be better off with one of those. So I'm just patiently waiting for my, you know, replacement of the same MP3 player to come in, and I'm making do. I'm making do like an adult.
Ah, not complaining. That's what I like to hear.
But that's not what the news of the show is this week. Hey, there was some casting news that we haven't talked about.
Mm-hmm. I know it wasn't Doctor Who, so it must be something else.
Must be something else. Lots of DC news this week, and some of it positive for a change. We've got talk about the Justice League. We got talk about Nightwing. We got talk about Lobo, of all things. No, this is not 1992, ladies and gentlemen. It's 2013 that we're talking about these things.
Wow.
We also have con talk, and I gave myself a project after last week's show to do a much better job of keeping track of when the conventions are,
right,
and letting our listeners know when the conventions are coming near them.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yes. We also have the digital books that are on sale this week, and with the freebies that Marvel is doling out, which reminds me, I got to throw one in my bucket today. We have the books that we talked about last week, and it runs the gamut of new stuff, old stuff, stuff that only some of us read, and we'll get into all that. And then, of course, we have our Twitter question from this past week, which is your favorite or what is the best all-ages book?
Right.
And a lot of reminders, a lot of books that made me reminisce to a time when I read those books. And I read a lot of these books now, and it's not because I have an infantile or juvenile mindset. It's because all ages doesn't mean just kids.
Nope.
All ages puts out a lot of good stuff.
I equate it to Pixar. You know, something like Pixar is all ages, but it's still really, really good most of the time.
So the talk of things here, starting off the news, would be the casting of Batman in the new Batman-Superman film coming up.
Who'd they get?
Well, it was someone that was rumored to be directing the Justice League movie.
Hmm.
And the information on the internet would have you believe that this person may be involved in multiple multiple choices going forward, appearing as Batman in all sorts of different DC projects, at least on film. And that man would be Ben Affleck.
Ah. Didn't he make a Daredevil movie?
He did make a Daredevil movie. A Daredevil movie that I, to this day, outside of one scene, one horrible, horrible scene, is a very good movie.
What is the horrible scene?
The terrible wire work scene at the playground.
That's That's the best part. No, I never liked the Daredevil movie. I thought it was terrible. But
really?
Yeah. Yeah, I actually went to see it, and I didn't think it was any good.
See, you were thinking it was some sort of bizarre property that they'd invented, not knowing that it was based on a comic book at the time.
Yes, my lack of comic book knowledge, I didn't know.
Well, your lack of Daredevil knowledge.
Right.
You know, listen, I'm trying to purport the fact that you think Daredevil's a brand new character.
I didn't know that. I thought maybe that Mark Waid used that as a template, but...
Oh, okay.
But, no, yeah, I didn't like the Daredevil movie. But, you know what, I look at this as, you know, he got cast and people are going crazy one way or the other.
You ain't kidding.
Here's my honest to God opinion. I'm not a big fan of Ben Affleck as an actor.
Right.
You know, people said, oh, well, have you seen Argo or the last two things that he did were really good.
And I was like,
The Town. And I'm like, no, because I saw a lot of his stuff and I really didn't like it. So there comes a point where I won't give you a chance anymore. And I didn't. People told me that he was good. Do I think he can do it? Maybe. But I'm not big on the casting choice, but I won't, like, you know, nerd rage to the sky kind of a thing. I'll give him a chance. I look at it as the Superman movie. I didn't like the direction they went in with most of it. So I don't know if I'll like it. The sequel, because it's going to have that feel, and hopefully Batman will make it better. I don't know, but I'm not going to go crazy. I'm going to say, okay, let's see what happens.
All right, so I've got a lot of thoughts on this as well.
Okay.
And I talked to a lot of people this past weekend. As I am wont to say, whenever I go to a wrestling show, everyone backstage talks about comic books. Whenever I go to the comic book shop, everyone talks about wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of talk of this at the events this past weekend that I was a part of. I'm all for it. I say more Affleck the better. I know that you say it's like, hey, he's had some good movies. Now, I haven't seen Argo and I haven't seen The Town. But I have seen pretty much everything else before that he's done. I went to go see Zhili in the opening weekend in the theaters.
Wow.
I'm an Affleck fan because he seems like the kind of guy who has a good sense about himself and his place in the Hollywood machine, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Is he the best actor in the world? By no stretch of the imagination. In a perfect world, we can go back and, you know, steal Christoph Waltz from 1989, pump him full of steroids, make him grow 6 inches, and he could be Batman.
Right.
But I will take Ben Affleck. Now, I was toying around with so many ideas, and these were ideas that I had snowballed with people. What they should have done was, instead of casting Ben Affleck, is cast anyone as Batman, and then just dub in Kevin Conroy's voice.
Right.
Because that's the most important thing, because that's everyone's Batman.
That is the most noticeable Batman voice.
That most certainly is. Other people were of the opinion of, you know, you go look online or you just go look, you know, obviously in 1988 or 89, there was no real online, but you go look at the casting choices of Michael Keaton as Batman and how everyone decried that Mr. Mom is going to play Batman, brr, brr, brr.
Mm-hmm.
Or when Heath Ledger was announced to be playing the Joker, people were up in arms. People went out of their minds. Not as bad as this, but just as bad. And look at the performance that we got out of both of those in the Batman franchise movies. Who's to say that this is not going to be the greatest Ben Affleck performance of all time? And regardless of all these petitions and everything else, a friend of mine, Robert, said to me, it didn't matter who they cast as Batman. It's good that they cast a big name person because his name may draw some people. Mm-hmm. However, this is the first time in the history of the world that on the silver screen, Batman is going to fight Superman. Everyone's going to see this movie.
Yes. Yes. And you know what? I totally understand what you're saying about Ben Affleck's personality.
Mm-hmm.
I always like equate it to, I'd love to sit down and have a beer or a drink with Ben Affleck.
Right.
But do I want to watch his movies? Not so much sometimes. Like, I saw him on The Tonight Show do his favorite Geely reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this was while the movie was still in theaters. You know, like, not like, oh, by the way, you know, I'm doing Hollywood Land, you know, and, you know, Geely is 5 years ago. He's on there and he's just ripping the movie apart. He's like, there's no saving this. You know what I mean? Like, right. There's no turning this ship around. It's hit the iceberg. It's 3/4 to the bottom of the ocean. There's, you know, there's no chance to get in the lifeboats. So he's just doing it. And I was laughing out loud. And I'm like, great guy, you know, but like a lot of his movies, I just think he's not that great in it. But like I said, you said it too. Superman versus Batman, that people are going to go crazy. They're going to go see it. I'm in, but I'll go in, with my eyes, like, you know, wide open going, okay, if I get hit with the bat, I did, but if I don't, I'm fine, you know, so.
You're right. At that point, you have no one to blame but yourself.
Exactly.
So I'm not, again, we talked about on the show, we were not fans of the most recent Superman movie, and, you know, we were kind of sort of in the minority. You know, the movie made $650 million or whatever crazy number it made.
Right.
And, you know, it's a success. So This movie, I'm sure, will be just as big as a success. I may not agree with Zack Snyder's vision of what this is going to be, but I can't get upset over this until the movie comes out, until I see it.
That's exactly the way I feel. Like, I'll go, you know, it doesn't look like something you want, but you can't say it's going to be the worst thing in the world right now when they, you know, they haven't even shot a frame of it yet, right. And it's the worst thing in the world. So, yeah, I think everybody should take a deep breath and we'll wait till the movie comes out.
So, moving on to more things getting people in a snit online would be Lobo. And coming up in 2 weeks, in Justice League 23.2, Lobo makes his debut in the New 52. Now, I know you're going to say debut. He's already had, like, two other major appearances, one in Deathstroke and I think another one in Stormwatch. But apparently we're being led to believe that those were different fake Lobos. This is going to be the real Lobo. And there was a couple character designs that came up online that it wasn't the big, bad, hulking Lobo that we all know and love. And, Todd, I hope you and our listeners are sitting down for this one. The internet got upset about this.
Are you saying the internet lashed out against something?
Right, without having all the facts or actually knowing all, you know, having all the information.
Right.
To which I say, prior to this information coming out, I had no real interest in Lobo. When this information came out, I continued to have no interest in Lobo. It wasn't until the writer of the story, Marguerite Bennett, who co-wrote the most recent Batman Annual, she took to the internet and said this. I'm not sure if you saw this.
Okay, go ahead.
She had said, "I was not in charge of the Lobo redesign. I wrote my script, and after it was completed, I was shown the new what the new character would look like. For the record, the images you have seen are not what Lobo actually looks like in the book. I respectfully disagree with the decisions to release these images. When you go and pick up your books on that Wednesday before you buy it, pick it up and read the first 4 pages. If I don't have your attention by page 4, you don't have to read anything of mine ever again." So, the fact that she said that has me interested in this book. A book that I could not have cared about 2 months ago. Now here it is 2 weeks away, and I'm going to pick it up.
Interesting.
Now, whether this is a giant marketing ploy and I fell for it, hook, line, and sinker, you know, it's interesting to get this sort of talk. It's interesting for the writer to spin this negative publicity. Obviously, she wants people to read her book so that she gets paid and continues to have a job.
Of course. I mean, that's the nature of the beast. And I don't blame her because, you know, things get so, like, we just talked about the Ben Affleck things. Things get so blown out of proportion before these books even hit the stand and they have a stigma to them before you've even read a page. This might be like, you know, a great book and everything is awesome, but people have, you know, have dug in their heels and made their decisions already. And I try not to be that way. And I do do it with some things, but I'm trying to lay off on it. So, you know, especially with that, you know, the 4-page, you know, ultimatum where, you know, read it. And if you don't like it, you don't ever have to read anything. I just kind of like when somebody says stuff like that, puts their money where their mouth is. And granted, you know, I may not like it, I may like it, but that's going to, you know, at least edge me towards that part of the table now and pick it up and peruse through it and see what's going on.
Right.
So she did her job.
Right, and, you know, she is a prodigy of a progeny, however the terminology has worked, of Scott Snyder. So that's a good seal of approval right there.
Yes, it is.
So just continuing on, this past weekend in Canada was Fan Expo, and we did have some news come out of there. One of the bits of news that came out actually before the convention started was that in 2014... the Justice League of America book will now be Justice League of Canada.
Right.
Written by Jeff Lemire. It's not going to be a new book. It's just going to replace Justice League of America. I don't know if Jeff Lemire is on the book now. I think he was co-writing some stuff with Jeff Johns and Matt Kent and other folks. But as more questions were asked at Fan Expo, they were saying that, well, the reason that it may be happening is because there may not be an America for there to be a Justice League of. Dun, dun, dun.
Mm-hmm. big to-doings transpiring. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on. Personally, I would have called the book JLA, but that's my own take on it. But I'm interested to see where this goes, what comes out of the Trinity War and Forever Evil, and, you know, I've heard some rumors as to what it is and everything, and it's interesting. So it depends on how, you know, crazy things get. I could see me picking up this book and trying certain things. So, but the whole, like, oh my God, it's in Canada. What's going on? You know, I'm interested, and we'll see.
They could have called it Justice League Wisconsin or Justice League Disputed Zone or Justice League Ecuador. I'll check out a book written by Jeff Lemire. I like Jeff Lemire. Mm-hmm. And he actually tweeted very early in the morning on Friday, Justice or JLA.
Oh, did he?
He did. And,
dang.
You know, you and I thought it was going to be that co-written book with Charles Soule, the Burger Time adaptation.
I was going more for Dig Dug, but...
Dig Dug in and of itself is a pretty macabre story if you think about it. Yeah, there's monsters invading this guy's garden, so what does he do? Uses a bicycle pump to explode them.
And occasionally drop a rock on one.
And occasionally drop a rock on them, yes.
So, I mean, he has two ways. He has 50% more ways to kill them than you had, so...
So, yeah, there's no official announced date for that. I'm sure it's going to be after Forever Evil is done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a lot of Justice League news to be talking about here. As we, you know, in Forever Evil stuff as well. Also during Fan Expo, they mentioned the headline was Nightwing will explode the internet on September 4th.
Right.
So there's been a lot of information, a lot of the house ads have shown the Nightwing symbol covered in blood, and it says, when the unthinkable happens. And have you been following Trinity War?
Yes, I have. I haven't been picking up everything, but through a series of events, I know everything that's going on.
Right, I was going to say this weekend, my friend Robert actually brought me all the books, and he's like, you need to read these. You need to be up on this. You can't be lagging behind. He goes, especially if you're getting Forever Evil, you need to know what's going on. And yeah, I'm interested in Forever Evil. I'm glad to see this going down. I'm intrigued by the mystery. A lot of the villain stuff has been spoiled. We're not going to spoil it here. There's speculation of what's going to happen, but for DC to come out and say it's going to be something happening with Nightwing, they're going to announce it next week. I'm sure it's going to be a news story that they're going to press release. So be wary on the internet on the 3rd. Because if you're going to pick up Forever Evil where this probably happens, they're probably going to spoil it online the day before.
They don't do that, do they? No, I'm going to keep my head down and because I'm probably going to try Forever Evil. And then, you know, once I figure that out, now that the new preview comes out today, I'm going to start my new pool list. see what's going on, what's going to happen. But I think, you know, Forever Evil is going to be on it, and hopefully something cool with the Nightwing. You know, I hope it won't get ruined for us, because me and you like to have to peruse the news for the show.
I'm 100% with you. I certainly hope so. So that leads into, you know, everything that's coming up in the big crossover, the Villains Month and all that sort of stuff for DC. We're here the last week of August. Villains Month starts next week. So make sure that you have your amended pull lists at your shop, and make sure buyer beware with everything that you're checking out, you know?
Yes, 3D versus 2D. It's crazy.
Right, right. So I do want to mention this weekend a con that is happening, and that would be Dragon Con. If I'm not mistaken, Dragon Con is in Atlanta.
Yes, it is.
It's more of a sci-fi fantasy sort of thing, but there is lots of comic creators there. I know Neil Adams is going to be there, George Perez is going to be there, Mike McCone is going to be there, tons and tons of people. And if you're into this sort of thing, I see a John Barrowman is going to be there, if you like that sort of stuff.
He was on that show. What was it? Green Arrow, or Arrow, that's what he's on.
Right, right, right. But no, there's tons and tons of really cool guests that are going to be there from all sorts of different facets of the nerd culture that we talk about here. Darwin Cook is going to be there, Amanda Connor, which means Jimmy Pamiotti is going to be there as well, I'm sure. Peter David, just as I'm going down the list. So if you're in the Atlanta area or the greater thereof area, definitely go check out Dragon Con.
Yes, never been to that one.
I was just actually talking to a buddy of mine online the other day of, like, my bucket list of cons that I want to get to one day. And, you know, it's New York, it's Charlotte, and it's C2E2. One of these days I'm going to hit all three of those.
No San Diego?
Nah, I think the ship has sailed for me in San Diego. There's going to be a time where it goes back the other way,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll be allowed to go.
Nah, I still say New York's 6-7 years away from being the East Coast San Diego.
Well, I'm okay. I think that's plenty of time. I think once the baby's about 5 or 6, that'll be a good time to take him. So that's only about 3-4 days away. So it'll be right at that cusp, right at the crescent of the explosion.
The peak.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So definitely check out Dragon Con if you're in the Atlanta area, and I'll make sure to include a link to all their information in our show notes. As well as links to our friend Mike Kingston's Kickstarter project. He's got about 2 weeks and change left to go on that for Headlocked, the digital comic about professional wrestling. He is over his goal, but that doesn't mean there's still not time to contribute, and lots of awesome things that you can get by contributing.
Mm-hmm.
And digital stuff, if you are so inclined, if you're watching your wallet, there's some free stuff available from Marvel this week. The first ever issue of the Venom ongoing series. Back in the 90s, he had a series of mini-series that were back-to-back-to-back that were almost like a ongoing series, but it wasn't officially an ongoing series. It was part of the Marvel Tsunami line. Remember the Tsunami line?
Vaguely.
It was Venom, it was Runaways, it was Mystique, and it was Sentinel.
Was that the Sentinel with the kid who found the...
Yes, it was.
Okay, that's the one. Okay.
They were trying to go for a more manga-inspired comic flair. And, mm-hmm. You know, Brian K. Vaughan was on those books. I know him. He was on Mystique and Runaways.
Yes.
Those were good books. I think they just did a recent, like, huge, giant collection of all the Mystique stuff, probably within the last 2 or 3 months. That was really good and really underrated.
Yeah.
So that's for free. They also have, I have to fix my notes here, of course. They have New Avengers 38, which is a very odd issue, and maybe like just randomly in the middle of things. It's like New Avengers 38, and it doesn't look to be the beginning of a new story or anything, so I'm not 100% sure exactly where that fits into things. Mm-hmm. Unlike Mighty Avengers number 1, which is very clearly the beginning of a storyline and a new series. That one makes sense to me.
Gotcha.
So that's what we got digitally for free this week, so definitely go check those out.
Is that all the digital stuff?
That's all the digital stuff I got on my docket here.
Gotcha. Well, I think now would be a good time to mention our sponsor.
Yes, indeed.
Transporter. The Transporter is a private cloud device that you own and control. It has all the benefits of the cloud without any privacy concerns or reoccurring monthly fees. It simply uses Dropbox, and in addition to Windows and Mac, there are mobile versions for the iOS and Android, and they have different memory choices up to 2 terabytes. And we've discussed, you know, how much 2 terabytes is. It's a lot of pictures, a lot of videos, or a lot of music. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah, lots and lots and lots.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just head on over to filetransporter.com/longbox. And if you click on the link up at the top that says buy, choose the link of connected data. Those are the folks that actually make the file transporter. And if you purchase anything from their site, you throw the code in the coupon code section of Longbox, which is us, and that'll give you 10% off your order. So again, filetransporter.com/longbox. Buy it through connected data right off the site. Put in the code Longbox for 10% off your order. And feel secure and safe about all your vacation photos.
Yes. Or work documents.
Or work documents. Yes, because that's what I do that's what I do with my computer. I work.
Me too. And solitaire.
And solitaire. You need to start playing Candy Crush. You ever hear this Candy Crush?
Yes, doesn't the angry pigs eat the candy or something?
Right, the angry pigs eat the candy.
And then they get crushed.
And then they get crushed, and then you mix the Play-Doh colors together, and it makes me upset.
Gotcha, and then Cookie Monster eats cars?
And then Cookie Monster eats cars, yes.
Gotcha. we covered a lot of ground on that.
We certainly did.
But
we certainly did. So where would you like to begin with books that we read from this past week, my good man?
How would you like to start with the Ben Affleck movie character Daredevil?
Ben Affleck movie character Daredevil, number 30, written by Mark Waid with art by Chris Somney. Also did the fancy cover there as well. So this was kind of like a one-shot, sort of an interstitial in between the last story, which was... You had the big story with Bullseye and Ikari, then you had a little two-issue thing with the Sons of the Serpent, then you have this one-off issue, and I tried to do some research on this, and this, I think this is the first time that there was ever an official crossover between Daredevil and Silver Surfer.
I would not even be able to tell you if there was or not, so I'm going to go with your word on that.
So this was the book that you were most looking forward to coming out this week, so I'm going to let you kick things off with your thoughts.
Yeah, it's basically somebody, some, you know, cosmic character shows up to get Matt Murdock's help, which I actually thought the way he found out about it and everything was really cool. Mark Waid sets up, you know, everything makes sense, which is the hardest part about a Silver Surfer Daredevil team up, and Surfer comes to get this character. And like you said, it is a one-off book story, but the book ends with the character who's coming to help with because Foggy's out of the picture, and they're going to help run the law firm and everything. It's really important. Those two things are like beginning and end, boom, really important. Then there's a fun Daredevil story, which I didn't think should work, but it did. It's not my favorite Daredevil story of this run. It's really, really good. It is hard to make them come together, but Mark Waid made it happen, and I thought it was just interesting the new ways that, you know, with Daredevil's powers and cosmic, you know, the power cosmic. It's just the way he sees things and do stuff. I would have never interpreted the character doing things that way, and like as I always say, I love Mark Waid's Daredevil.
Mark Waid's Daredevil is awesome. I 100% agree with you. And the art in this book, as always, is beautiful. There's a specific shot, a 2-page spread, I'm sure. You know the one I'm talking about. That is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I would buy that. I would buy those 2 pages if I was if I had a lot more money.
If you had even more money than you do now, you mean?
Right. If I was a billionaire, then I would buy them.
Right. But yeah, just cool stuff. Everything about it.
Right, and I'm looking forward to see where the next story arc goes for Daredevil.
Yep, I bet she's setting up another long game, which will be really cool.
Yes, indeed. So the book I was most looking forward to coming out this past week was Batman Beyond Universe, which was essentially 2 stories. One written by Kyle Higgins, currently on Nightwing, about Batman Beyond. The other, Justice League Beyond, I guess, written by Christos Gage. 2 writers that I like very much. This was a $3.99 book, and it is a digital first book as well. I'm going to try to be as quick as I can with this, but I don't think I'm going to be able to.
That's okay.
I really liked the Batman Beyond stuff. I like the new status quo that they set up, who is, if you're familiar with the Batman Beyond character, it's Terry McGinnis, and he was being assisted by an aged Bruce Wayne who was no longer physically able to be Batman, and there was some crazy stuff that actually happened on the Batman Beyond Justice League Unlimited cartoon that made them, you know, maybe a little bit more than mentor and mentee. This does set up a new status quo for Terry as Batman. There's a really good mystery that goes on at the big prison, the Arkham prison that they have in Gotham City, and I'm very interested to see where this goes from here. However, the Justice League Beyond story I did not like at all. I don't like Superman Beyond. I don't like it's, you know, Clark Kent just really old having to deal with these kids. And, you know, he's in this story, he's out of control. And I like Christos Gage as a writer. You know, I liked his stuff on Avengers The Initiative. I thought his Avengers Academy book was probably one of the best team books of last year. But something about this one just didn't click for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to read the Batman Beyond story, but I don't want to read the Justice League story. I don't want to pay $4 and have half it be a book that I don't want to read. So I'm going just digital on this book. I'm going to pick up just the digital stuff of the Batman Beyond stuff.
Makes me wonder, too, if down the line they'll start crossing over.
Well, when I will cross that bridge when that bridge pops up.
That was my next question.
Yes. If and when that happens, I'll make the decision from there.
Gotcha. Good decision.
Yeah, I know you wanted to check this out, not knowing that was even coming out, and I guess our store sold out of it.
Yes. I'm a big Kyle Higgins fan and a big Gage fan. I'm a Gage fan all the way back to that Deadshot, Deadshot Mini.
Mm-hmm.
I know we've talked about it a few times on here. I remember reading that and going, oh my God, who is this guy? I'm going to follow him anywhere. So, yeah, and then when I went in, it just wasn't there. You know, smaller ordered book, obviously. But on your say-so, now I'll have to think twice about what I'm going to do with it.
Well, you know what? I'll bring it to the shop for you today. I'll put it in my bag, and I'll let you make the decision.
On a book like that, too, it made me just realize that he got more trilliums in.
Oh.
And I haven't had a chance to read it yet because I was going to talk to you. You know how you said you wanted me to read the past story first or the –
Yes.
Somebody showed me, I don't know if we talked about it on the show, that in the book, the future story is part one.
Oh, okay. And then, I didn't notice that.
And then when you go to the credits of the past story, it says like part 1A.
Ah.
So I think, like, you know how you told me you wanted me to read it the other way to see if it's any different?
Yes.
I'm probably not going to do that because I think the writer wants us to read it that way.
Okay,
the way you
yes.
did with the future story first.
Yes, which is the way that the writer wants you to read it.
Yeah, so I'm going to do it that way, if you don't mind. I figured I'd
No, don't.
It.
Believe me. Don't listen to me. Don't go on my word. Jeff Lemire knows his story better than I do.
Right, because I just thought it would be cool we discuss it both ways.
Right.
But I was like, if Jeff Lemire's telling me to read it this way, I don't want to experiment with my book.
Exactly.
Gotcha. I just wanted to throw that out there.
So, just continuing on, let's talk about the book that we both read. Because
okay.
The other two books, one I read and one you read, we both read Indestructible Hulk number 12.
Right. Agent of Time.
Yes. So, the Hulk is in Old West time. He is fighting dinosaurs and the mysterious Tomorrow Man. The Tomorrow Man who is using the ripples in time, that time is broken because of Age of Ultron, to go do something. The whole thing of his plan is a little unclear at this point. I've got to think, though, the Hulk showing up and doing the things that he's doing is probably not making time any better.
What, the Hulk punching things in time? Doesn't seem like it would be a good thing?
Right.
So, but yeah, I enjoyed this story. I liked it. If I had one nitpicking thing about it is I would have liked more Old West to it, if that makes any sense.
It
like,
does.
More of the characters, you know, they had the two-gun kid and Rawhide kid and stuff like that. And they just seemed like they were in there because it was the Old West. And I would have liked to maybe have this been a two-parter or something to give them more to do. I mean, they do stuff to help save the day and everything, but it's kind of like, oh, we need some gunfighters in here to do something. And while the Hulk's over here, they're doing this. And I really think if you could have took the gunfighter story away And that's just me. It's a really great story, but as everybody knows who listens to this show, I'm a huge Western fan. I just thought maybe the Hulk in the Old West, we could have done a little more with it, but I am intrigued to see what the plot is and why the villain's doing what he's doing. And like you said, probably the Hulk running around doing stuff isn't a good thing. And I like the whole Banner globe thing.
Yes, I like that he's getting such a kick out of antagonizing the Hulk.
Right, so I think that's a cool dynamic because you don't get to see Hulk and Banner interact at all, even though this is a weird, different way. I think that's cool, but all in all, you know, I'm really enjoying the story.
Yes, I'm 100% in agreement with you. So yeah, I'm really liking the book. I'm interested to see where it goes next. And yeah. So, it's always a good book. If you can, pick up the last issue. Oh, so I have something I want to mention to you.
Just me? Okay.
Yes, just to you and our listeners.
Gotcha.
I have a feeling that, you know, that the mystery villain... I'm not sure why. I have a feeling that the mystery villain is Apocalypse.
Really?
Yeah, I there's something about the way he was drawn, like the poses that he was in, were very apocalyptic to me.
Gotcha.
Yes.
I can kind of understand what you're saying on that, looking through it now. You know what I mean? It didn't even dawn on me. I thought you were going to say Kang.
No, I'd love for it to be Kang, but...
Because it's a time story, so I figured it'd have to be Kang somehow. Or maybe it's another time, you know, version of Kang. Because isn't there like 17 versions of Kang now?
There are multiple versions of Kang. That's correct.
There's Iron Lad, there's Kang, there's like something Tut or whatever. So Rama Tut. So maybe this guy's another Kang. That'd be awesome.
Immortus.
But so maybe it isn't. But Apocalypse is an interesting guess.
Right. That, and again, it's only a guess. You know, I have no way of knowing this. I don't know what I'm basing this on. But yeah, I just have a feeling that that's what it's going to be.
We'll see. If you win, if you're right, we'll give you a prize, a cookie.
There you go. So I'll let you go next, talking about Wonder Woman number 23.
Which is a weird choice that I picked this book, because I've never really talked about it. I think I've talked about it when it first showed up. But it's one of those hard books to review on a monthly basis because you want to get people in on it, but it's a book that doesn't have any jumping on points, if you know what I mean. Like this is the end of issue 23 with the zero issue. It's 24 issues, and this is the end of one giant storyline that has been amazing. It's been, you know, Wonder Woman finding out her heritage, and as we go, it's finding out that there's Zeus has a kid that may be, you know, bring about the end of the gods, and just a ton of different things. But it's all been great, and I've wanted to talk about it, but I never know where. But I think with this being the end of the storyline, people can pick it up in trade or pick it up digitally. Brian Azzarello has just been amazing on it. Cliff Chang's the artist, but I would say Cliff Chang is the fill-in artist. He gets all the credit, but he seems to do one issue to every two fill-in artists. So I always find it funny when they do that they call him the regular artist, but when the other guy should be. But it's really good. It's an interesting take on the gods. They don't look like, you know, the old Greek versions of them that Perez did, which I loved. But they have some really creepy, like, versions of Hades, the way he looks. He's like a kid with candles melting on his head and everything. It's just a creepy book at times. It's written really well, and it seems to be in its own universe as opposed to the Wonder Woman in Justice League, and looks like the one that's coming out in Superman Wonder Woman. But I can't praise this book enough, but like I said, I just wish there was more jumping on points. So digital and trade is the way to go to get caught up. And hopefully this new storyline will be accessible.
So, I don't want to ask too many questions because I know you said that you have to kind of be reading it from the beginning.
Right.
Is all the New God stuff still in there?
Yes, it is, but it's not as heavy. It's in there, and I'm not really sure how they pertain to things. Like, Orion shows up, you know, I don't want to ruin too much, but I'm not really sure if they're part of the gods, of the pantheon of the Greek gods or whatever, but I kind of like that I don't know everything as the book is going on. And he's only appeared in the last storyline or so. So it's not like we've had, he's just shown up to help Diana and be like, and you're not sure why and stuff's going on. And it's more of a mystery with the new gods, but there's another villain who's related to the Greek gods. Who's the troublemaker. So if that makes any sense.
So I guess and again, I did try this book at your behest way, way, way back when it started. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I just couldn't get into it.
Right.
I tried like the first 5 issues and I don't know. It just didn't work for me, but I'm not the norm when it comes to this sort of stuff. So if you follow Todd's recommendations of your Doctor Who's and your Raiders and your things like that, by all means, I say check this out.
And like I said, I don't want to give anything away. Something major happens at the end of the storyline, and I just think it's another interesting take of Asriel. I think he's just a brilliant writer that I've seen on different things. Sometimes he's not so great, but I have to admit what he does at the end of this issue 23 makes me want to read more, and I'm like, good for you.
Mm-hmm.
So Wonder Woman, if you have the ability, I would say try the first trade. Digitally is much easier too, but a good book.
So there you go. So the one last book that we're going to talk about from this past week would be one that I read, and I'm going to try to get you to read, and that would be Thunderbolts. Now would be a perfect time to jump on, because the writer is Charles Soule.
I've heard of him.
Yes, you've heard of him. With art by Jefe Paolo, and I'm mispronouncing your name, I do apologize. It's being advertised as a new ongoing creative team, even though Charles Soule has been on the book for 2 issues previous. And the 2 issues previous were kind of just, here's where these two characters are, and here's where these two characters are. And by these two characters, I mean his first issue was, here's Punisher and Elektra stuff, and it had art by Steve Dillon. Here is Red Hulk and Venom stuff. And I can't remember who the art was on that, but it's more so about the new character. Phil Noto, my apologies. Phil Noto was the artist on that. And it was about Mercy, who is, I guess, an old Hulk villain from back in the 70s. Nonetheless, this is the first, I guess, story arc with everyone involved in it. And the pitch of this is, and again, makes me question, I have some qualms about it, but it's a very well done story. Charles Soule does a really good job. I have like 1 or 2 little nitpicks about it, but they're little, and you'll understand. So Red Hulk is now the leader of the Thunderbolts. Red Hulk is General Thunderbolt Ross. He has this team of essentially mercenaries that are going to quote unquote fix the mistakes he has made over the years. And every time they go on a mission to fix one of his mistakes, one of the other members of the team get to use the team for whatever they want, no questions asked.
That's an interesting take.
And if you read the you'll see in the links that I put up the little preview pages. And this is no spoiler, of course, because it's in the preview pages. In this one, they simply draw the names out of a hat. Everybody writes down their names, they put it in a hat, they just finish off one of the missions, they pull a name out, and whoever's name pulls out, whatever he or she wants to use the team for, they have to go along, and he's the leader of the mission.
The person who won.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. So, it's very interesting. I like that sort of dynamic. I don't think they needed to be called the Thunderbolts. I think they could have called them something else. Does the Thunderbolts name really carry that much cachet that they need to continue to use it? I think they could have named it something else. But again, he is General Thunderbolt Ross.
Mm-hmm.
The other little qualms that I have about it is it's an Infinity tie-in, Todd.
Ah!
It's an Infinity tie-in, Todd.
Is that the mission that they have to go off on?
So the mission they go off on takes them to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, hey, we're going to New York. That's where the Avengers are. Don't you think they're going to stop us? And they're like, no, our readings say the Avengers are off in space. And there's your Infinity crossover.
Ah, I used to love those crossovers. I always love the minute knock on the door. Is somebody home? No, he's off fighting the super secret war, you know, crisis on. Gotcha. Okay, I'll come back later.
So you can't fault him for trying to get more eyes to read this, and maybe people are going to pick it because it says Infinity across the top. Mm-hmm. But if you are an Infinity completist, do not check this book out. If you want to read a good, fun take, Charles Soule does a really good job on getting all the characters' voices and personalities through. He writes a better Deadpool in the few pages that Deadpool appears in than the current book that Deadpool appears in that has his name on the cover of the book.
Mm-hmm.
My only other little qualm is the art on this book. Jefe Paolo, previously for Marvel, had done the Taskmaster miniseries that Jeff Fred Van Lente did.
Right.
I don't know if you ever read that. That's really good.
No, I didn't, but I know of the mini.
Okay, that's another one I'm going to bring. I'm making notes. I have to bring you Batman Beyond, and I have to bring you the Taskmaster trade to read.
Oh,
so you will see his art in the Taskmaster trade, mm-hmm. and you will see his art here. And
gotcha.
It comes down to coloring. Whatever the change that he did with the way he colors his art,
mm-hmm.
it's for the worse. Like when I complained many, many moons ago the way when Scott Collins went over to the digital coloring.
Right.
And I felt it took something away from his art. I think the method that he's coloring this book is taking something away from Paolo's art.
I've said it once. I'll say it again. Coloring is the new inking.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, I know what you're saying. And on the Thunderbolts name thing, though, that you said mm-hmm. the name of the book, I'm with using Thunderbolts as a name. Because what other name are you going to use? I mean, I know you're saying, like, does Thunderbolts have that much cachet? But even if it only has 1% cachet, then it's got one more percent than, like, evil dudes who have their own agenda mission book, you know? So it's whatever you're going to name it, unless it's Defenders or something that's already used, I think just go with Thunderbolts.
Now, see, for me, you know, if you're going to go that route, why not just call them, like, Deadpool's Dandies or something like that?
Nah. Deadpool's Avengers?
Deadpool's Avengers, right.
I would read that book.
So, yeah, that's really all I'm saying is just, you know, I'm not, like, upset by it or something.
No,
Yeah, I don't know. Like, the Thunderbolts to me is... I have those special memories of the Thunderbolts, you know?
Yeah, even that weird one run. Wasn't there one... like, what?
Yeah, where it was a mess.
Yeah, so you don't have great memories for the whole run. Of
no,
all
there was
the
a little bit of a hiccup there when it was an underground fight club.
That's it. Wasn't that X-Force 2 at one point? No.
That I don't know.
Okay, I'm thinking when it was weird. But anyway, you don't have a love of the whole run, so they'll do it with Deadpool that way, or Thunderbolts, and you'll be fine. You'll be okay.
But it's still a good book. I say definitely check it out. It's Charles Soule writing. We're on a Charles Soule kick of late.
That's
so,
right.
So I cannot highly recommend this book more. Definitely check it out if you've got some time to... Check out a lesser-known book, and hey, who doesn't love, like, you know, hey, all your favorite 90s characters are there, man, you know, Punisher and Venom and Deadpool, man, you know, all the hip characters that
yep.
the kids like.
Now we need is redesigned Lobo in there, and we're good to go. And I'll bring up all your little qualms to Soul when I see him in Baltimore in a week.
Yes, please do.
Gotcha.
Please do, because that's not obnoxious.
No, it's not at all. Hey, man, love your work, but this is everything I hate. I love watching people do that.
No, but and that's not even the thing. It's not that I hate.
No,
it's just that I wish he was using his old coloring process.
Gotcha. I'm only busting.
I know. So I think that wraps it up from what we read from this past week.
Yes.
So Todd, I'm going to ask you, what are you most looking forward to coming out this week?
I'm going to go with Thanos Rising number 5 because I want to see how it's all going to end. I've really enjoyed, I think we've talked about it in here. We might both be Jason Aaron fans.
Yeah, a little bit.
And I've really enjoyed Thanos, and Thanos is one of my favorite characters, and his origin, his take on his origin has been interesting, and I want to see how it ends, and see if it ties into Infinity at all. But no, just to see how good it is. See what he does.
Oh, boy. So I'm excited for that book as well. It's a little bit late. I think the last issue is supposed to be out before the first issue of Infinity, correct?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was asking Dave this, and I think it's on time. I think it's not. I don't actually think it doesn't have anything to do with Infinity. I think it's just was his origin to get us, you know, get a taste of Thanos before the Infinity happens. But you never know. We'll find out when we read it today.
Right. So the book I'm most looking forward to coming out this week is a book that I was, you know, I'm a fan of these guys and I talk about them all the time, and you're probably sick and tired of hearing me mention them. Then you may want to tune out for the rest of the episode as well, because we're going to get into it. The book I'm most looking forward to coming out this week is Itty Bitty Hellboy by Baltazar Infranco from Dark Horse Comics. The buzz on this book had it changed from a 3-issue to a 5-issue miniseries. And if you like what Baltazar and Franco do, if you read their stuff on Tiny Titans, you read their stuff on Superman Family Adventures, if you get the Aw Yeah Comics stuff either through the Kickstarter or through Thrillbent, and or if you like Hellboy, I definitely suggest checking this out. I think there's going to be a sleeper hit that hopefully more people read and, you know, gets a lot of people reading it, because I'm excited for it.
Yeah, that is cool. And I think Itty Bitty Hellboy is going to be one of them all-ages books.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it is. But before we get into our all-ages books,
dang, I wanted to do a couple
we do have a couple plugs that we have to mention. I would be remiss to tell our listeners to go check out our Twitter account, which is Weekly Long Box on Twitter, to get all the information of the latest news and other information in the world of comics and thus related. If you're one of those folks that get the show on iTunes, be sure to leave us a review. You don't even have to write anything. Just give us 5 stars. Mash the keyboard with your hand, and that's a good enough of a review for the show for me.
Ah, yes. Keyboard
and
mash.
Then they'll send you the special dialing wand after that.
I want a dialing wand. But anyway, go ahead.
And if you want that more personal touch, as I am wont to say, and you would like to follow myself or Todd on Twitter, Todd is Roker the Joker. That's R-O-W-K-E-R, the Joker. And I am L.F. Chikarison. That's L-F-C-H-I-K-A-R-A-S-O-N. On the Twitter machine, I'm very active on Twitter. And I am very busy this weekend as well. I have wrestling in 2 different spots. I got wrestling on Friday in Ohio for AIW. That's AI Wrestling. And then I have Sunday afternoon in Reading for Wrestling is Fun. That's wrestlingisfun.org. We just had an iPay-per-view for Wrestling is Fun this past weekend. It was awesome. It was a great time. If you like wrestling, if you like fun, if you like to have a good time, check out either one of those shows. Or if you're like me, check them both out.
Yes. I like none of those things. Fun, good times. I'm a terrible person.
So if you pretend I did not do those plugs, we're segueing right into Todd's segue of our Twitter question from this past week, which was, what is the best or your favorite all-ages book?
Yes, it was seamless.
It was seamless, except for my ham-fisted plugs, to hopefully one day get you more Twitter followers.
Well, all I know is my Twitter was blowing up with people who started watching Doctor Who because of the show.
I take no responsibility for that. I dissuade people from reading or watching Doctor Who.
I always do like when somebody goes, yeah, I was listening to the show, and now I'm going to watching Doctor Who, and I hear, it's Todd. You're just like, you just wave.
I want to give you credit where credit is due.
I do love it. It's like you waving planes on a, you know, as they're docking.
Listen, I don't want someone to go to a convention and meet John Barrowman or the fifth doctor, if that's something, and tell them
if that's something
and say, hey, I didn't know about you until I heard Leonard F. Chikarison mention it on the Weekly Long Box, and then that person's gonna think they're gonna do a search on me and think that I like, and then see all the horrible things that I say about Doctor Who.
Yes,
I want you to get your proper credit for being the Doctor Who fan that you are.
Thank you.
The least I can do. Actually, the least I can do is absolutely nothing, but I'll go you one better, and I'll give you the credit that you're due.
You'll do something.
I'll do something. So we had a lot of good suggestions from our listeners. It was all over the place, to be honest with you. But a lot of really good comics, stuff that I still read to this day. Will Kinchalia mentioned Super Dinosaur by Robert Kirkman. And I love Super Dinosaur. It's kind of on an uneven schedule these days because he has another little smaller book that kind of pays probably the bills for him, his immediate family, their immediate families, and their immediate families. And the fact that he could write both books, he could write Walking Dead and Super Dinosaur, and, you know, both of them be very good books, I think says a lot about Robert Kirkman.
Yep, he's a man of means.
Yes. We had Jeanette Ramos and Michael Lee Carter respectively mention the Mega Man book and Sonic the Hedgehog book from Archie Comics, who are actually in the midst of a crossover. I'm trade-waiting that one, just because it's such a big crossover. The trade will actually end up being just a tad bit cheaper for me in the long run. So if either one of you are reading the crossover, let me know how that's going.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Honskar, MC Honskar on Twitter, mentioned the TMNT Adventures, the one that was kind of more based on the cartoon than the grim and gritty Eastman and Laird book. And I remember reading that when I was younger, when the cartoon was on, and just being such a huge departure. Obviously, the cartoon was a huge departure, and this was even a further departure from the original source material.
Yep, that was another Archie product.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that comic property has bounced around so much.
Oh, my God. It's ridiculous.
We had our good buddy DJ mentioned the current Eric Shanover and Scotty Young Oz books from Marvel. We had multiple people mention Bone. We had Noel Margate, Vegas Margate on Twitter, mentioned Peter Porker, the Spider-Ham. And if there was ever any book that needed a property that should be part of the Marvel Now Wave 2, it should be Peter Porker.
Yes, I love, I always say his two favorite people he fought was Dr. Doom, and he fought alongside Doc Clamson. There's your winners right there.
And a new listener, Ian Michelangelo, Mendozasaurus on Twitter mentioned Thor the Mighty Avenger, written by Robert Langridge, which is a book I extol the virtues of all the time. I love, love, love that story. It's a beautifully done story. It's well written. And outside of Jason Aaron, that is probably the second best Thor stories I have read. So check those out.
Interesting.
But those, while those are all great all-ages books, and I highly suggest you checking them out if you have younger readers or just like reading good comics, anywho, check all those out. But Mayan, I'm gonna, you know, it was your choice. You made the topic up, so I'll go first. It's no surprise. I'm a huge fan. I'm even wearing the shirt today. My choice is the Baltazar Franco Tiny Titans book. I love the Tiny Titans book. I was sad to see it go. I was happy to see it replaced with Superman Family Adventure. Then I was sad to see Superman Family Adventure go. I'm happy to have All Yeah Comics, but Tiny Titans is really what got me to be a fan of those guys' work. And if it wasn't for that book, I wouldn't have been opened up to all the other stuff that they do in comics.
Your Baltazar and Franco life has been like a yo-yo.
Yes.
You're just up and down. Oh, my God. The emotional roller coaster that they put you through. But I enjoyed Tiny Titans, too. That was a good run when I read it. People, you know, it was a hard plot to follow sometimes. But
Well, the biggest thing about it was there was so much stuff in there. Like, it was easy to me. It was easily accessible to little kids because it was very, you know, straightforward stories. But then there was, like, references to Crisis, there was references to old story, references to old Marv Wolfman stuff, there was references to, like, all the New 52 stuff that was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was, like, inside jokes that unless you, like, listen to their podcast, you'd have no idea what it was. And the fact that they were able to have not only a book, but an all-ages book printed with, like, inside jokes in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's awesome. Like, jokes that, like, just their friends get. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, that is cool. Definitely.
So what is your book? What was the one that you chose?
My favorite all-ages book, and now it was, you know, from the regular DC line, but I still stand by that it's an all-ages book, was Captain Carrot and His Amazing Zoo Crew.
Ah, yes.
Which I, you know, funny animals, Captain Carrot, whose name was back when, you know, they first brought it out, his Captain Carrot's alter ego was Roger Rabbit,
Oh.
And that didn't fly for too long because a company that had, you know, Disney had a Roger Rabbit movie, and they made him Rodney Rabbit, and he drew the Just a Lot of Animals comic, which was the JLA version, but animals with, like, Fire Stork. You know, it was basically the Peter Porker of the DC universe, and I had such fun. They used such horrible puns in the book, and, you know, there was Pig Iron and Fastback and one of my favorite names, Alley Cat Dabra. You know, that was just a great name. And they were fun. 20 issues. They had the Ozland, the Oz Wonderland War 3-issue mini. Just a fun book. And I think they're doing a showcase, like the black and white showcase of that next year. So I'll be picking one of those up. But yeah, just had a blast with that. And I forgot that that actually premiered in a Teen Titans book. You know, they had a little, like, oh, here's 16 pages or whatever, 12 pages of the new, like, but fresh stuff. It wasn't in the Captain Carrot books where it was like, this is how we get over there. Superman ended up on Earth C, you know, so it was. And then the Justice League characters that were in the comic were on Earth C minus. Stuff like that just cracked me up.
So, you know, that is one of the Earths, if I'm not mistaken, in this new 52 universe. So there's a chance that we could possibly see Captain Carrot make a long-awaited return, maybe in a grim and gritty fashion.
We already have.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Threshold.
Oh, he was.
Yes, and he was, you know, grim and gritty, the drinking, womanizing, but a certain kind of womanizing, they use the word for that I don't want to use on here. and he had a metal leg, and I knew, I was reading it, and they just, like, you know, there he is with the metal leg, 2 issues in, and I'm like, he's going to say it. And he's like, yeah, if I ever catch the guy who stole my leg for good luck, I was like, oh, this is terrible. This is terrible. Well,
and for you, Mr. Pun, you shook your head at that one. That's where you drew the line.
Well, no, it was that they made him grim and gritty, and then, like, he's a scoundrel and everything. And I'm like, it just doesn't work on any level. So, but I love the old Captain Carrots. I reread them every once in a while.
Well, again, I do thank all of our listeners for contributing to this past week's Twitter question. This week's Twitter question is going to be somewhat timely. And by somewhat timely, I mean, I think the NFL draft was this past weekend.
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. What was this past weekend?
Preseason.
There was something that I saw people talking about, the draft or something. Maybe it was their fantasy football draft.
There was a fantasy football drafts. Yeah. For the season, which starts on the 4th or the 5th.
Okay. You know, I knew it was something.
It's Dungeons and Dragons for jocks. That's what fantasy football is. But go ahead.
And nerds do it too. Don't leave them out.
No, you know what I'm saying, though. I mean, I've never done fantasy football, but it seems fun. I just like watching the games. But go ahead.
So, where I was going with this was, my question for next week is, pick for me the character that you would like to draft from one company to the other.
Ooh, you would like to steal them away and sign them for a long-term contract?
That's right.
Oh,
you want to steal Captain Carrot away from DC and put him into the Marvel All-Ages universe? Is that your choice?
I gotcha. I see what you're saying now. It's making sense.
You picking up what I'm putting down?
Yep, mopping what you're spilling, big guy.
So there you go. So just tweet to us with the hashtag GrizzWLQ. Let us know who is the character that you would like to be drafted from one company to the other.
Gotcha.
And if your 140 characters will allow you an explanation, include that as well. Because we always like to hear the thought process behind why you make the choices that you do.
Yep, definitely.
So Todd, I guess, was there anything else that we have to cover?
No, I think we're good.
All right, so this wraps things up here for episode 93, the Weekly Long Box. Slowly but surely, we're creeping toward that number 100. And I think we're going to have a big announcement coming soon in regards to maybe a really cool giveaway, maybe the coolest giveaway that we've ever done on the show coming up. Got to just figure out how to give this, get this in your hot little hands, all you listeners out there. I got a bunch of ideas. And We're going to talk about it at length at the shop today.
Yes, I think I know what you're talking about, too.
All right. Speaking in code. So again, closing out episode 93 of the Weekly Long Box. For Todd, this is Leonard, and we will catch you all here next week.